We would have. Now, I'm going to turn this music off so that we can hear you. Now, we're going to navigate to my father's house.
Okay.
Oops, go back. Navigate to favorite. There we go, Daddy's house. 38 minutes. Holy shit, we'll be there past 6 o'clock. By the way, for those of you who are listening, this is Archer Radio, and we have the boyfriend with us. Say hi, boyfriend.
Hi, boyfriend.
How are you?
I'm fine.
You might have to speak up a little bit, because...
Fine, how are you?
Just fine. You're going to be on the right side, because you are sitting on my right side.
Yeah, I forget what a control bitch you are.
No. This is because of the binaurals.
Oh, that's right. That's right. So you're going to be even more of a control bitch than you normally are.
You think so?
Turn left. You usually are. You normally turn my mic down or turn it off, so...
Well, why do I do that?
Because you do not appreciate
at the end of the road,
my aura.
Turn right.
Now, we're listening to Susan and giving us directions.
I know. Isn't she fun?
I'm tired
turn
of Susan.
Turn right.
Why are you tired?
You have a choice. Me or Susan. Pick.
She's going to stop talking in a second.
Because she understands... that I have her beaten.
What is that? I don't understand. What do you mean?
You have to choose between Susan or...
the boyfriend.
So who are you going to pick?
Well, it depends. Is Susan a tranny? Does she have a...
You know Susan better than I.
Susan, unfortunately, is a heterosexual woman who just likes to give directions.
You mean Susan is a dominatrix?
That she is.
Does Susan wear stiletto heels and a riding crop?
No, she doesn't. She's not that...
I bet she does.
She's not that much of a... Now, if we were to go the wrong way, she would become a dominatrix and tell us to turn around.
Would she crack her riding crop?
Only over your butt.
I would go, ow! You would go, oh, Susan Moore.
Give me more.
More Susan Moore.
Oh, you're so funny.
No, honey, you're just a pervert.
Where are we going now?
You're a pervert.
We're going to my father's house. We are currently leaving Kluge Winery.
Yeah, well, we have to say, we have had a rather disappointing experience.
The whole day.
Well, not because the wines are bad.
Right.
But because it was extremely crowded. We're used to having one-on-one experiences with winemakers and...
tasting associates.
But pouring the wines, and we didn't get any of that. We got some of that at one of the wineries. But one of our favorite wineries, we went there this morning. It
Barbersville.
Was extremely crowded.
Yeah, as we were driving up, there were two busloads of people unloading right in front of the winery.
Well, it was like going to Napa Valley. One of the Napa Valley, the big wineries in Napa Valley, where you're 3, 4, 5 lines deep, and you're getting these raindrops
of a tasting,
and we got nothing to taste. And so then we went to the vertical tasting tables, and nothing before 96 was worth even drinking.
But yet, the vertical tasting went back to 94 on one...
91.
I was going to say, on one table was 94, but 91...
Terrible.
Oh.
Terrible. It was like...
But what did we say it showed us? The evolution of Virginia wines.
Virginia wines, yes. The improvement started in the mid-90s. Because what we had in 91 was like a vegetable soup. It was just...
without the chunks of vegetable.
Terrible. It was just terrible. But it took us forever just to get to... the vertical tasting table, and it was a cafeteria table of that bad wine, and it took us forever. We decided we were just done, we're tired of it. And we were hungry. To get food, we had to pay more money, and then we had to wait until 1 o'clock in the afternoon to get
to the barrel
food
tasting.
And wine to the barrel tasting, and so we were
which we ended up skipping.
We skipped, well, because there were like 500 people ahead of us.
And starving, and...
we were hungry, so we went to another winery. We went to a deli, we got some sandwiches. We got a wine tasting,
That was actually nice, because we actually got to talk to that lady. What was her name? Do you know her name?
Mildred.
No, we don't know her name. But she was there the last time we were at Oakencroft.
But she looks like she could be Mildred or Catherine or...
But now, come on. Don't you think those other two wine tasting associates were lesbians?
I don't think any of them were lesbians. Those they looked like... They looked like country squire... Wives of country squires who spend their day riding horses and surveying their estates. I mean, they just... You know, which could... So they could look like Eleanor Roosevelt, for example.
Hello, Eleanor Roosevelt, lesbian.
Well, but Eleanor Roosevelt was of that same ilk. Class of, you know, women. So, but we did have a nice time there. We had a nice wine tasting, and we had some sandwiches.
But they were crowded, and they were having a wedding, so they were closing early.
Yeah, they were just closing early. So then we came to. This other winery, Kluge,
which is very upper class, upper crust, elitist winery.
Oh, but no, they have lovely cheeses.
Oh, they do, actually.
Very nice cheeses.
We did have a cheese plate.
So we had a cheese plate and a glass of wine.
And a glass of their, they're Simply Red 2003.
And they were nice enough to accommodate us. I had a cup of coffee.
And I had a hot chocolate. After hours. They stayed open for us to have it.
So we can't complain, but we really had to battle the crowds and lines and...
Well, and just this last time at Kluge, if I hadn't gone up to that tasting bar and gotten us a spot, we would have been waiting for tasting again.
Yeah. But it's Columbus Day weekend, and Virginia wines are becoming more and more popular. The quality has improved a lot. And I have to think we're part of the...
impetus.
Cheerleaders who are encouraging the industry. In fact, we gave out a business card to another aficionado this afternoon.
And, the guy who was like in Cab Franc at Barbersville.
Well, I was thinking of
that lady.
I thought she was a historian, and then I texted her
in
a couple of her weak areas. But anyway. She was nice. She was trying too hard to be smart, I think. But anyway.
Well, do you think she was trying to impress us?
We didn't even invite her to talk to us. She just came up to us and started talking about whatever.
She wanted to know what wines we found enjoyable. Because
we said we were teachers, and then she started talking about politics or history, and then I said, well, I teach...
500 yards, turn right.
There's Susan. I teach high-level history, and then we got into that conversation with Elizabeth, and then I posed an open-ended question, which she got wrong, and then she palavered some more, and whatever. But
turn right.
She was actually kind of fun. And so we had a good time with her, and then... We decided to go off to Kluge, thinking, well, we're normally the only people there. Then we got there, and we went up to the tasting.
There were like 20 people in line.
We were not in line. There was like a line of whatever, 30 people. So we had some cheese and a baguette.
And I snagged the table as soon as it was empty.
And then at the end, we did get our tasting, and then.
And that college chick obviously doesn't know her stuff. She just knows the phrases to say, I think.
Well, she was there in the summer. We don't know.
In August, yeah.
She was nice. But they were nice enough to give us I would have liked some coffee and dessert.
Oh, why didn't you do that?
They had all the food wrapped up and all. Because I looked at the
Oh, were they?
Desserts.
Yeah, well, because they were closing. Actually, they had already been closed for half an hour by the time we finished our tasting.
So we sat outside. We had coffee and hot chocolate. And
because we needed some caffeine.
Well, it's been a long day, and of course, you had me up at 6:30. Thank you very much.
I'm sorry. You did not get up at 6:30.
No, you got up at 6:30.
Yes. What time
and
did you get up?
You were in the kitchen. And I had to go to the kitchen and say to you, are you crazy? It's only 6:30.
Actually, that's not what you did.
I did.
It was like 7:15, and you came in. I was listening to the most recent podcast of QCast Connecticut, Michael, something Heroes Part 2.
Yeah.
City of Heroes Part 2. And you, like, grabbed my hand. You didn't say a word. You just grabbed my hand. You dragged me back to bed and said, snuggle time.
And we did snuggles until what time?
Like 20 to 8.
Isn't that more important?
Than what?
Snuggling with your boyfriend.
What
is... Fixing breakfast. Isn't snuggling with your boyfriend more important than scrambling eggs?
Where you were hungry?
I was hungry for snuggles.
You ate your bowl of Cheerios, and then you said...
I wanted snuggles.
You ate your Cheerios, and then you said, that's not enough. Where's my breakfast? Scramble me some eggs.
Why? Because you were lounging in bed.
I was listening to a podcast.
Where did I find the iPod?
On the floor, because when you dragged me back into the bedroom, I had to take off the iPod and throw it on the floor.
Because I wasn't done with snuggles.
Why is this lady going so fucking slow?
I don't know. Now, I have to reveal to...
Uh-oh, what are you revealing?
Well, you have two conservative listeners.
That is true.
Last night, I did record...
But they're not going to hear it.
A lecture on the Gilded Era... and American politics in the late 19th century.
That you did.
And you said to me this morning, I'm not going to use that.
No.
It's too boring.
No.
It's too boring.
No, what you said was, don't
said
you dare play that podcast because it's too rambling and I don't want to sound like I'm drunk on the podcast.
Well.
You weren't drunk. You were just boring.
I was not boring. But I was kind of rambling.
But it all made sense.
No, you said it was boring.
In any case, do you think the two conservative listeners, Dave and VA and Washington Brian, that they would have appreciated your lecture?
Well, I don't know, because I broke down
and
the Gilded Era, which you 1877 to 1901 when McKinley was assassinated.
Yeah.
And I broke that down to presidential elections, the regional conflicts, North and South, and the corporate interests who funded candidates for both parties, and the critical swing states. And yes, in the late 19th century in America, believe it or not, both political parties were devoting time and energy and money to a handful of swing states, much like today. And what did I tell you last night? What was the most important swing state?
Ohio.
Ohio. And that was exactly the same case in that time period. So, that era ended when a progressive president emerged, and that was Teddy Roosevelt, who became president by accident through McKinley. And so, that era of control by corporate industrial interests ended when Roosevelt became president, and so we had a period of reform and kind of a, you know, America coming into the 20th century. Roosevelt did that for us. But until then, we had to deal with Hayes and Harrison and Cleveland and McKinley, and not the lot. Maybe McKinley was the best qualified, but then we had to deal with all this mudslinging and smear campaigns and who, you know, McKinley had an illegitimate child, and Blaine had a mistress, and who was he sleeping with? A lot of the nonsense we're dealing with now, well, that was the same through then. I had a whole
lecture
in the can, and you said, what did you say?
It was too boring.
Boring. What did you do?
I actually didn't delete it. It's still on the iRiver. I could play some at the end of the...
No.
I will grab a couple sound bites from that recording because you said at 2 points, you're not recording this, are you? And then you said, if you post this, I will smash you.
That's right. But, you know, I have to tell your listeners, in addition to my my history background, I too went to law school. So, you know, I had an interest in these things, but I didn't finish law school.
Did you get C's?
Well, you know, I did. But
were they gentleman C's?
No, they were real C's. I earned real C's. And I had not earned real C's in my life. But, you know, I was going to law school because my dad wanted me to go to law school.
That's right.
I did not want to be a lawyer. But I went to law school, and my grades were average, and I never earned average grades. I was Dean's List and Honor Roll and all of that. And it was a valuable experience. I worked in a law office, and I was actually a paralegal. I worked for a gay attorney in New Orleans.
You were a paralegal?
I was a paralegal, yes, sir. I researched cases. Actually, the most interesting case I worked, two interesting cases. Are you going to be bored if I describe?
Let's see how much time we've been doing.
Yeah, you'll be bored.
Oh, no, go ahead.
No, you'll be bored.
Go ahead, honey.
Well, one case involved this couple. I guess they were my parents' age, but they had to declare bankruptcy.
Oh.
And so the attorney I worked for was representing the creditors.
600 yards, turn left.
Well, anyway, this couple declaring bankruptcy, they had to declare their assets.
Yeah.
And I remember sitting in that office as a young Southern, just out of the closet, gay man, who had voted for Ronald Reagan. And this couple my parents' age, their assets included fringed leather jackets.
Oh my God.
Exotic skin cowboy boots. Bronco busting sat. I mean, they were like these big country western aficionados. They would go like country western dancing, and so they had all these clothes and leather jackets and chaps and whatever. And so anyway, the attorney that I worked for, who was representing the creditors, they were going to confiscate all of this like leather junk and their country western doodads.
And you wanted
it? That's all they had. That's all they had. That's all they owned. It was like their country western cowboy hats or something.
That's so
sad. And I just thought at like 24, how sad. This is so fucking sad.
How old were they?
Well, they were like my parents' age. In the late 80s, that would have been like 50 years old.
And all they had was leather?
Well, they were both like country western.
So that's all they had?
That's all they had. It was like their country western doodads. Their pants and boots and jackets and...
Yeah, but was the value worth what they owed?
Oh, no, because...
600 yards, you have reached your destination.
That's all they owned was the clothes on their back. Everything else was mortgage or charge to the hilt. It was very sad.
Hey, are we going to that Food Lion for stuff?
That's up to you.
Well, because we're at my dad's house.
Anyway, the other interesting case... So that was one interesting case, because I thought, these folks are my parents' age.
You have reached your destination.
My parents don't live like this. Anyway, so then the other interesting story. And back then, I remembered saying to the attorney, you know, whom I worked for, "Oh my God, please don't tell me at 50 this is what I'm going to be like." And well, we all laughed.
Surely not.
The other interesting story was this murder mystery. I had to go back to like microfiche to like the 1960s. This up-de-doo, uptown family in New Orleans. A young lady had been murdered in the home, and no one knew who did it. It was an unsolved murder mystery. And back in the late 80s, the case had become, I guess, fresh again, or... Anyway, I had to go back to the library, and I went to Tulane University Library, and I had to dig into old newspaper articles that went back to the early 60s, And it was a friend of the family who, you know, had this crush on the daughter who killed her and all of this. And, you know, 1988 or 89, this was all coming up again. And so the lawyer that I worked for was actually representing the family, the young lady who was killed. And back in 63, she might have been 18 years old or something. And so that was extremely interesting.
Wow.
And so those were two interesting law school experiences that I had. And now we're at your dad's house.
And we are at my dad's house. I'm going to put this back in my ear because I took it out so we could listen to you better. But now that we're going to go in the house.
Oh, you're just going to cut me off now?
No, go ahead. You can keep talking. I just had it in my ear the wrong way.
Well, anyway, I just want to say to you more conservative listeners that I do have a lecture. I did have a lecture in the can about the parallels between the Gilded Era and today. And maybe at some point in the future, I can boil that down to 5 minutes, and you will hear it here on Archer Radio.
I think I'll leave this running when we go somewhere.
But you know what, honey?
What?
You can't boil history down to 5 minutes.
I know that. Let's go say hi to my dad.
Hi, Dad.
Excuse me. Okay, we're going to go say hi to my dad. You want to just come back and get the stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Let's see if he's home. Of course he's home. I see his car.
I was getting your food line. Did you want to do that later?
We'll have to do it later on.
Okay.
He probably can't hear that, can he?
Sure.
Good night. Hello.
Oh, there they are.
How are you? How are you?
Oh, my goodness. Hi, how are
good
you?
Good to see you. Good. How are you?
Oh, good. Did you make it all right?
We made it just fine.
No
yeah.
trouble?
No trouble.
Yes. I meant to warn you about the deer.
We didn't see any deer.
We didn't see any deer.
Yeah, it's mating season, and they just run right out in front of you.
Okay.
So be careful on these roads anywhere you go around here until all you right. get into Charlottesville.
All right, we'll grab our stuff.
Yeah, grab your stuff.
Yes, grab stuff.
I'm going to close the blinds and turn on some lights.
Okay. Did you notice that?
What?
He's got the heat on.
Oh, but I don't.
It's going to be very hot in there.
Open the window, certainly. Yeah. We want to bring in, okay, our bags. Do you want to leave the wine here?
Yeah, there's no reason
okay.
to do that.
Okay.
You got that?
Let's see if you have a glass of wine with your dad. He doesn't drink too much.
No, he doesn't drink. Oh, look, my thing's open. Okay. Oh, grab my camera out of the seat, would you?
Is it open?
Yeah.
You know what, I'm wearing my rain jacket in only if we can.
Oh, bring that bag in. That's got your chocolate and my things in.
You want to have a glass of wine later on?
We don't have any wine open.
Oh, well.
You would have to open a bottle. Go ahead. Oh, there's kitty, 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 kitty. Hi, kitty, kitty, kitty.
Oh, is she on the front porch?
Yeah, she's sitting right on the front porch.
Okay.
Okay, well, I think that's all the recording we will do.
You're still recording?
Yeah, say goodbye.
Bye.
Archer Radio.